Right then, April, so I've got a lovely surprise for you again this week. This week we're going to be talking to the lovely Ollie from Uno Mas. Hi, Ollie, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm all right. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
So tell us about you guys.
About us guys?
Yeah. Do we have to? Yeah. I think people want to know.
I thought I was just talking about myself. Fair enough. I'll let slip. I'm Ollie from Uno Mas. And yeah, we are a Manchester-based indie pop rock band. I feel like I'm reading my bio now. As heard on. That's what it's like, isn't it? All the as heard on Radio X on BBC Introducing. Sounds a bit daft, doesn't it, when you say it out loud?
Oh, God. It doesn't sound daft at all.
So I'm Ollie from Uno Mas. We're in a Manchester-based indie rock band. And, yeah, we play catchy, relatable tunes.
Yes, very catchy. Because I think the first time that I heard you was I heard Glue. And that was on my friend Dave Shaw on Raw Radio.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just went mad when they heard you.
Well, that's a good sign, at least.
It was absolutely great.
We loved recording Glue, to be fair. Glue is like one of the easiest projects that came to us. Sometimes there's a lot of knocking heads, you know what I mean? Like when it's four lads in a band.
Yeah.
You ever heard of the phrase too many share?
Yes.
That's kind of what happens sometimes. That's fair enough. We've all got our priorities. We all take influences from everywhere. But Glue just seemed to flow in, and everyone was on the same wavelength, and it was a real joy to work on it.
Yeah, it did exactly what it says on the tin. It stuck like glue, didn't it?
It does. It sticks. It does stick indeed.
In every way, shape, or form, because it sticks in your head when you hear it. So.
Good. That's what we intend to do.
It is. I wander around work all the time singing it, and everybody's looking at me like, what are you doing? I say, right, listen to my show.
When I'm at work, some of the lads decide to play it and then tell everyone that I asked them to.
But that's the best kind of banter ever, that though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, because we've got a joint in all the rooms. I work in a factory.
Yeah.
So in all the rooms, we have a couple of speakers in each room, and it's all rigged up to the same software. So it's all on Spotify, and only like one person controls it. So, well, they'll put it on and it'll play in the entire factory. And they'll all be like, why is Ollie's tune on? And one of them will go, oh, it's because he asked for it. And I was like, oh, for God's sake.
Oh, that's great, that though.
Yeah, everyone must think I'm a right narcissist. I'm trying to turn it off, but then I shouldn't really turn it off, because at the end of the day, it's getting plays up, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, think of Spotify. Play it again. Put it on repeat.
Yeah, I've got to swallow my tongue.
Yeah, it's not on your account. That's fine.
If it was on my account, I'd be a millionaire by now.
You hear loads of people about doing that, don't you? I've got a friend who did a remix of a friend's song. And he posted all over Facebook this week. He was like, oh, look, we're up to nearly 50,000 streams. My wife will be proud of me using her Spotify.
Yeah.
Just whack it on repeat. Yeah, he's like, I can't wait for the royalties to roll in.
Yeah, all of 50p's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
So who else have we got in the band with you?
So there is me, Ollie, the most important.
Of course.
And then there's Daniel. Dan is the lead guitarist.
Yeah.
And then we have Tomo, who is the bassist, and then we've got Lewis, who's the drummer.
Cool.
That's the four, the famous four.
The famous four.
Not four.
How do you, so between the four of you, how does your writing process happen?
It can vary, to be fair. Usually, like, from, like, when we've started as a band, it's usually me who brings in like the bare bones of a track. So I'll maybe most of the song in kind of like chords, rhythm chords, and most of the melody. And then I take it to the lads and we just try and expand it from there. And then we try and demo it and see what we can put in there differently. And just we work hard on it. Like, we want to make sure that when we do have something, when we do take it to the stage or when we decide to record it, whatever, it's ready as it could be.
Yeah.
So it's always good to demo things just to put, because you can overlay ideas like more and more. You can start to work out like an overall sound. Whereas if you're just playing it as a four, like live in a band, you can sometimes get distracted by the fact that it's loud and it's cool because it's loud. And you know, and the drums are blasting and it's loud and it sounds cool. But then you listen, if you ever record it or whatever, and then you think, you could do it changing that. So it's always good. But yeah, we have our own practice room, which really helps. So we spend a lot of time up there. Two or three times a week or so we go up. Because we all work full time, so we make it our goal to get up there at least twice. We just sit down and we pan through. So I bring in most of the ideas for the bare bones, and then we work on them from there.
So do you write the lyrics for the songs?
I do, yeah.
You do? Yeah.
I've wrote the lyrics for songs since I was, God knows, since I was 13, I think. Oh no, I think I wrote my first song when I was like 9 to my sister.
Aww.
I think it was in the style of like Elvis Presley, which is kind of weird.
Aww.
My mum liked Elvis Presley at the time, and used to play it all the time. Must have picked it up somewhere.
That's lovely.
I think she's still got it written down. I don't know. You can't read it, obviously. My writing now, it hasn't changed much, but it was written down, and I think it's like the worst thing ever. I think she pulled it out not long ago, a few years back. Get rid of
it. She was like, "Oh,
I'm gonna sell it."
Look what you did for your sister, your first ever song.
Yeah, it's pretty. I didn't know how to play an instrument. It was about a year after I started.
So what did you learn first?
Well, on the guitar?
No, as in, was it the guitar that you learnt first to play? Because you said instruments. So I was presuming that you can play more than one.
Well, it kind of comes with guitar. So yeah, I picked up a guitar first, started playing that. The first thing I played on guitar was James Bond, which is pretty dire, isn't it? It's a bit tragic. Yeah,
I've never heard of that one being the first one anyone's ever played before.
Yeah, I don't know why that was. I think it was just because it was like a couple of notes. Like either that or Smoke on the Water.
I can't remember what mine was.
I don't know. It's weird. I started learning other things about that. Like, as soon as I like mastered James Bond, I went on to like, I think I did the Zephyr song by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You can't go wrong with that, can you?
No, that took me a while to master. That made me put the guitar down for like 6 months. I was like angry.
Really?
Yeah, when I was younger, when I was little, I was trying, and I couldn't do it for that. And that was it. I'd give up. 6 months. The guitar was in the corner of my room, and 6 months I didn't touch it. And then one night I just couldn't sleep. I think it was before. I think it was like the first day of high school. It was like the night before the first day of high school.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't sleep, and I could see my guitar like shimmering in the corner. Turn the light on. Picked it. It was an electric guitar, so it wasn't blast. I played it straight away without any mistakes.
And no way.
Yeah, straight away. Literally, it was like the weirdest thing. And I played it straight through, no mistakes. And that was it then. From then on, I just carried on playing it forever.
Right, I'm not playing my guitar for 6 months now, just to see if I go back to it.
But instrument wise, I think it goes hand in hand where you can, I can play a bass or ukulele, or I can pick up a mandolin or whatever. I can do a bit of keys, but piano. It's just, I can get a tune out of anything if you give it me for long enough. I think that's just because and just can. Like, once you know notes and stuff like that, and sounds, because I'm not very theoretical
when
it comes to theory of music, but
no.
I've done everything by ear since I was little. I just picked up a guitar and that was it. I didn't really learn anything. I just played until it sounded good.
Mm.
And I'm still in that zone now where I just kind of play. And then one of the lads in the band, because some of them are quite theoretical, one of them would be like, "Oh, what note's that?" And I'd be like, "I don't know, but my hand is here, and that's what the sound is."
Yeah. I mean, that's how it's actually how I've been taught. My guitar tutor, he kind of picks up really quickly about how people learn. As soon as I went in, I was like, I'm never going to remember all these notes. And like, you know, instead of telling me the proper names for things, he's like, this is funny D and this is strange D. I'm like, okay, James.
Yeah. I am a bit like, I just do everything off that sound. So
and your fingers go here and here.
Yeah, that's it. That's literally it. I've been playing for 15 years now, and I'll safely say that I'm all right at the guitar. I still know absolutely nothing about it. I just put my hands in places, and I know where to put them as well. But I don't know. I don't know what it's called. I just know.
My fingers go here.
Yeah, even if it's in a certain key. Someone will be like, "Oh, that's A minor," and I'd be like, "Oh, is it?" Because I'm just playing it, and it sounds like
I just like it.
Yeah, it just sounds cool. So let's get on with it.
Yeah, I very much like that. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm still shit at playing, but you know, it's fine.
Got to start somewhere.
I'm learning. Oh God, I'm allowed to say that. April said. The holler said, too. I'm allowed to swear.
Oh, that's cool. No, don't tell me that, because I'm holding the phone. I'm the best.
The holler's going to be like this now. No, Laura Jane, stop it. Don't tell people they're allowed to swear. Oops.
Not with me either. I need a swear box, me.
I do too. You should hear me in my office. It's hilarious. I mean, I've actually, one of the sisters popped her head in one day and she went, "Are you okay?" I was like, "Yeah, fine." Shouting at my computer. I forget that I'm linked to a ward, you know, and they can actually hear me. So yeah. How long have you guys been together?
Oh, now I think it was 2019. I think it is. So. Couple of years now, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we were quite a recent gigging band before lockdown. So,
yeah.
We'd not done that many gigs before lockdown, but we were building quickly.
Yeah.
Doing some decent gigs for Scruff of the Neck in Manchester, selling some good tickets as well, good tickets.
Yeah.
Building our fan base. And then it all kind of went to shit. So, and like everyone's in the same boat, so it's not to moan about, but. Because everyone's got to work hard in any form of business to get back on their feet. But it was kind of, I know it's with all the horrible happened during lockdown, and it was kind of the time that we didn't really want, but we kind of needed just to like step back and think about how are we going to come back? How are we going to keep ourselves afloat? And it gave us the work ethic that we've got now coming out of it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. So, like, we now know what we want to do. Like, we were told that we couldn't do it for ages. So now we know, like, when it's time to open up, it's time to get our shit together and start working hard. And
yeah.
That's it now. Like, we all know what we want. We didn't like not doing it. So now we have the chance to work as hard as possible with no barriers.
Yeah.
Because... and that's it now. So that's where I think that's where our harder work ethic comes.
It's given you sort of like a time to focus, hasn't it? It's like, right, is what exactly do we want out of this kind of thing, I suppose. And I think a lot of people have found that, haven't they?
Yeah, because I guess like when we were first starting out, it was kind of like, yeah, we're in a band, it's pretty cool, like, and all that. And then when we were told we couldn't do it, like, legally,
yeah,
then it got to a point where we were like, right, no, this is definitely what we want. We always knew we wanted to do it, but like, really, we need to book up. And we needed to book up anyway, everyone did, because at the end of the day, if you stopped putting out content or doing anything in lockdown, you were going to be stagnant and you'll be left behind, you know what I mean? It's a dangerous way to go. So we just pushed and pushed, and that's where the Mathcast was born.
Yeah.
The Mathcast was born in lockdown. Like the first series of the Mathcast, we did it as kind of like a vlogcast, sort of like a video podcast sort of thing.
Yeah.
It was all kind of visual. We did daft games. We basically just got absolutely shit-faced.
And
like, we couldn't see each other, so like, it was weird. We couldn't see each other. And, like, we'd only really known each other before lockdown for less than a year. So
all right.
It was almost like... it was strange, like, so we couldn't see each other. So every time we used to use an app to get all of our footage onto. And as soon as it opened up, like, the beers were out and we're all chatting and swearing, and that was it then. And that was pretty much the first series of the Mathcast. It was dead fun. It was good. Every Friday we did it, every Friday night, and we released it the Friday after. And it was good fun. That was kind of where it birthed this idea. And we didn't really know. We at the time, we were just doing it for because of lockdown, like, we couldn't do anything.
Your entertainment.
A lot of ours, and just trying to stay in people's ears and eyes. So we couldn't really record anything together or anything like that. You couldn't meet up.
Yeah.
We just thought of a way of doing it, and we really enjoyed it, and it was dead funny, just messing about. And we did loads of daft things, like we dressed up for, like, we did movie night, and we all dressed up, and we did all sorts of daft stuff, and it was good fun. And then the second series of the Mathcast we brought out this year, not so long ago. It was probably about 4 or 5 months ago now, and we're up to episode 7 is coming out, not next week, but the week after. That'll be the entirety of series 2, so we're nearly done with series 2. It's kind of turned into this idea has kind of turned into something bigger, where we have a guest on every week. Every time we do an episode now, of like, if they're in a band or on the radio or wherever, if they're a manager or if they run gigs, we love just talking to people that are musically inclined and just bigging everyone up. And it's become a platform for people to come on and talk about their things.
Yeah,
and we get people to open up, so you can hear about, like, we love to.
Have I lost you? I know what we were talking about. I was shouting at you for not inviting me. That's what you were saying, because you were saying, we've invited people to talk to us.
Yeah.
Okay. And I went, where's my invite?
Why that many beers?
What?
I don't know. I think, have you had too many beers? Because I don't.
That's exactly what we were talking about. Never mind trying to avoid the subject.
I'm pretty sure I was on. I was talking about season 3 of the Mathcast and it being bigger and better. I'm pretty sure I was up to that.
No, I think you weren't. I was shouting at you.
Maybe it had gone off. Maybe it had gone off by then.
Maybe it has.
Yeah, I think it fucking has.
Not as well.
Yeah, apparently so. No, yeah, we're going into excess to do a show with Jim.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be fab. They're great, aren't they? I mean, it's brilliant to get people out there that way, and that, isn't it?
It's great, yeah. And Manchester's a good place for it as well. And everyone's quite inclusive in the Manchester scene. And we're all mates. And that's what the Mathcast is all about. It's about making friends with people on more of a level than just social media, you know what I mean? Because social media is all fronted. It's all, you got to look good on social media, like, otherwise it doesn't work. So when you get to meet people, we bring them into the Mathcast. We have a few beers. Everyone gets a little bit leery, and we start getting the dirty stories then, don't we? We've had a few issues with the Mathcast, to be fair. Good ones, funny ones, but
yeah.
I probably won't delve into them because I don't want to re-up them. But of just big bands, well, massive bands that have listened to stuff that we've said about them, and not taking it with a pinch of salt.
Oh no, come on.
Oh, it's fun though. Come on, it's good though, because we're on the radio. We're on the radar then now, aren't we?
Well, yeah, exactly. I know, but you know, you've got to have a laugh, don't you?
Exactly. That's what we think, and that's what the Mathcast is all about. It's all about just taking the piss.
Yeah, and just if you can't laugh at yourself, God.
Yeah, what can you laugh at?
I mean, that's what, you know, the Loud and Lush show's all about, is me and April just absolutely messing about. We've got so many private jokes that are going on, and you'll probably hear us giggling if you listen. And my brother was actually listening last week, and he went, "You on drugs every time you do that show?" And I was like, "Excuse me." And he was like, "Well, you never stop giggling." And I said, "Because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes when all this is being recorded. Me and April are usually just absolutely peeing ourselves laughing."
Yeah.
About some kind of private joke that's gone on. And we say things, and then, you know, people repeat the things that we've said and don't have a clue what we've actually said.
Yeah, and it's edited out, so you just get the laughing.
Yeah, and then we text each other going, "Oh my God, no, I really can't tell you that one on air, but I'll tell you about that one when we finish recording."
Yeah, another term. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you when it might be on. It might be on because we're gonna do an outtake show.
Oh yeah, yeah. Smash that. I like that.
Yeah. Definitely going to do an outtake show. We'll put all the naughty bits on. It'll be on later on. It's just going to be hard to... It might be on really late on a night over here because we'll have to work it out from April's time because it'll have to be on quite late for over there as well.
Is she over in America?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So how do you know her then?
How do we... Me and April actually met on Twitter.
Oh wow.
So I started doing playlist for songs that were under the 1K streams because you guys went on that for a little very short time. And me and April just got talking and she said to me, how about you come and do a show with us for all independent music and stuff? So yeah.
That's Florida.
No, she's in the Holler, man. She's from the Holler.
I can never
remember where she's from. Terrible. How bad is that? I don't know where my friend's from. Don't know where my friend's from in America, but she's from America.
America. Yeah, no. I
sound Manny... like dead American, don't I?
me and all. So, my missus is my partner's parents, they live in Florida.
Nice.
So I've been out there a few times. She sounds like a very South Floridian, but maybe she's South American. So not that South American. The South.
I know what you mean. She's
with
great.
The y'all.
Y'all, yeah. Y'all. And Miss Laura, as she calls me. It doesn't quite sound the same when I call her Miss April, but, you know. it'd be something like, "Ow, April."
Where are you based then? Are you based up in Northumbria, are you based in Manchester?
I am northeast of England, so near Middlesbrough.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
But I don't exactly sound like I'm from Middlesbrough, because even their accent, even though they're about 10 miles away from me, they sound very, very different. And everybody just seems to think we sound like Geordies, but we don't sound anything like a Geordie.
You sound
like a Geordie.
But then again, I probably sound like a Manc.
I can't really pick your accent out, really.
Yeah, South man.
Yeah.
Beth. Barely. I am actually from Manchester. I moved out when I was quite young.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? Because obviously you see all this stuff on Twitter and Instagram and that, and you meet people and that, but you just have no idea where anyone's from, man. All over the place, which is kind of cool in a way.
It is. I mean, it's brilliant. We're going to, we're actually going to see the Rifles. They're on at Stockton in Cuba, which is one of our local venues. Stockton's like about 20 minutes away from me. So the Rifles are coming there. And so Andy, who I did the playlist with, Dave's coming up from Wigan, who does the Raw Radio. Laura Horton's coming. She's coming to stay with me. Paula, she's coming over from Ireland.
Wow.
So, we've all just met on Twitter.
Yeah, that's mad, which that, is it?
Absolutely crazy. Catherine's is coming up as well. Can't remember where Catherine's from, but yeah, she's coming up as well. So, you know, all over the UK, we're all meeting up to go see the Rifles. And as I say, even Paula's coming over from... I literally just got off the phone to Paula before I was talking to you. So we're getting things arranged because coming to stay with me because we're going to go and see Jen Dixon.
All right, yeah.
Check Jen out. So I was out at a gig with Jen on Wednesday, who's with Paddy from Lines from a Poem and Vella Incident and everything else, all the many other bands that Paddy's in. So I was out with them on Wednesday at a gig. Another local bar near us called Any Volume, which is a really good bar to play in. Yeah.
Oh, we'd love to go out there. We're in London. One of our first major out of Northwest gigs. London, we're like outside King's Cross at a place called the Water Rat.
Yeah.
It's literally just outside of King's Cross, and we think that's... We can't wait. So we're excited to just get out of the Northwest and get out of Manchester. And don't get me wrong, we love it, but we love Manchester. But...
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we want to get out and spread the word, you know what I mean? Spread the Uno Massive.
Exactly. And, oh, well, we can sort something like that out, no problem. For up here, we've got loads and loads of places for that you can come up and play up here. Honestly, the Georgian in Stockton as well, we've got loads and loads of great venues. And I mean, like, even my local pub, I'm talking to my local pub about putting like independent bands on and things on a Friday night to try and get a bit more interest in the area in actual, you know, rather than cover bands and things, which are absolutely fabulous. I've got some great friends that are in cover bands. To actually get the independent artists seen, because I think that's one of the hardest things around. I don't know about, you know, Manchester's a big place for bands and things like that, but up here, independent artists, they're either like smaller venues or, you know, it's like been a bit hard to get into places. And obviously it's hard because people up here, I'm not sure once again about down in Manchester, they're like, oh well, I've never heard of them, why would I go and pay a fiver for a ticket, kind of thing. Yeah. You know, but
yeah,
once people heard these bands, I think they'd be like, wow.
Yeah, it's just all about getting that what's the word,
exposure, isn't it?
Yeah, exposure.
A lot
of bands work and sometimes never get it, and it's I think this is the best time now,
yeah,
for it, because everyone's so into it, like just helping everyone out. And that, like I say, that's what we want to try and do as well. I mean, that's a great way of doing it. You big everyone up and all over the country, and it should be a thing where, like, it should be like a, like you say, like you have your mates on Twitter and stuff like that. That should be, that's fucking mint.
Yeah.
Just over the love of one thing. That's incredible in a way. Like,
it is.
Just to have. So I think that's fucking ace. That's, to be fair. So, and like you say, with April in like America, and you wouldn't think that this kind of music or any kind of music, like indie music or like North Manchester music or North indie music or whatever would resonate that way, but clearly it does. It just it's the right amount of exposure.
Yeah, and that's it. That's what myself and April are absolutely all about, is getting everybody as much exposure as we possibly can. And we're just trying to find lots and lots of different ways. And I mean, I know it's like, you know, that it's about, as I say, back to the sort of how do we get people to come and see you? You know, when they're like, oh, I don't want to come and see somebody who I haven't heard or whatever. How do we get people into the pubs and into the venues? And how do we pay the bands? Because at the end of the day, the bands are going to be making some money from it.
Yeah.
You can't always go on the goodwill of all these bands that are still trying to, you know, I mean, not exactly make a living, because I know the majority of people do it for the love, but when they are producing stuff, they have to have the money to be able to produce stuff, and that's what the gigs money comes from, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I don't think personally that gig money can even scrape the surface of a good production to a good production of Anything really, because if you think about it, you've got to pay for your tune, your mastering, your pictures, your photo shoots, your video shoots, and stuff like that. All that's not just, you can't just do a gig and pay for all that. You know what I mean?
No.
It's a grind, and that's what I mean. Like we're all full time workers in the band, and we work hard for our money, and we pay our bills, and we all like live in our own housing or flats or whatever. So we've got our bills to pay and our own mouths to feed, or our partners with our partners and stuff, and we're still chucking money into it of our own. We're not using pure profit. That's not how it works. Like.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I know what I was trying to say. It helps, is what I was saying. If you get
it, definitely
something,
does.
Yeah,
it does.
It helps. Because I know, you know, like all my friends, it's the love of music. And that you do it for, and it's the same like with me and April trying to get everybody a bit more exposure for all you guys doing this. We're not getting a penny for it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you are doing stuff like that, it does require, like you say, it requires like just pure grit and determination, really. That's the way.
Yeah.
That's the way everyone kind of we're used to that kind of like. It's kind of. Bit sad to say, but that's how we're used to. We don't expect anything. We come down to play because we want to play, and we want to play our tunes, and we want to get that exposure that you say. So
And see people enjoying it. That must be amazing for you to see people enjoying the stuff that you've created.
Exactly, and that's why we're so excited to do this gig in Manchester at the Defence. Like. We're very, very, and I don't say this in like a dodgy advertisement scheme, like this is like we're incredibly close to selling that out now. It's literally, there is probably, I could say 30 tickets in it.
Yeah.
Maybe even less now. And it's a 250 cap venue.
Yeah.
Like we're so excited. We're headlining, it's our first major headline show. So it's in September on the 25th, and we're just so excited for it because we just want to get to that gig and just see all them people that have come for us at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They're going to sing our tunes. You're more than welcome to come, by the way. We're going to sing you're
when
invited.
Is it? When is it?
25th of September.
25th of September.
But, do you know Sam Shiner?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know personally, but yeah.
No, but you know of her, yeah. She,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a few coming down. She's coming down, and there's a few other people coming up, should I say.
Yeah.
We just want to get as many people there that know us and love us.
Yeah.
And just play our tunes and just have a fucking party. We're doing an after party as well, so we're going to get everyone out of that gig and into a bar that we've rented out or something, and we're just going to fucking... Have a big night, and just so we can chat to everyone and talk and whatever, because that's what it's all about, really.
That'd be fab, wouldn't it? I'm gonna have to look and see. I'm gonna have to put more holidays in from work.
It's on a Saturday, don't worry. It's not.
I'm just like all the time. I'm gonna have to leave early on the Friday because I've got another gig to go to.
Yeah, it's a weekend vibes, isn't it? That's it. You get down. Premier Inn on a Saturday. There's a nice Premier Inn in the middle of town. or if you want to venture further out, it's a bit cheaper. Where the Holiday Inn.
Holiday Inn.
Yeah, South Manchester.
You get me set up in a hotel as well. That's great.
I'll send you some great places. They're good for the money.
We'll have a look and see if we can get it sorted.
Cheap train tickets if you book it now as well, because there's a few months yet till we
get. Get it sorted. What am I like? I'm never going to be at home, I'm telling you. Like, I'm just going to be up and down this country, like, I don't know what.
I mean, considering the year that we've just had, I think that it is, I've made a goal in my personal life that I'm, if there's an available to go, I'm going to do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been a year. It's been a year of not being able to do anything. So,
I literally think I'm going to be a gig every single weekend, or a hen night, or a wedding, or.
Yeah, that sounds like great to me. Coming from there,
it's a lot of outfits.
It is. It's going to be a lot of hangovers as well. But...
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, don't.
Yeah, we don't like thinking about them.
Don't think about hangovers. Never used to get them. It's an age thing.
Yeah, until they hit hard for the next.
So, who does all your socials anyway? Who runs them all? You? Or do you take turns?
Yeah. Well, I majority run our socials. Dan does a lot of some of it as well. He does a lot of like video editing and stuff like that on his. But I run most of the posts. Just because I think we all have our strengths, and my strength is talking shit online. So
and to me.
Yeah, and to you. Yeah.
But that's one of my strengths too. Hence,
yeah.
Talk shit forever.
Two super strengths right now.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's it. So we just do that. I do it. It's one of them, isn't it? Like you have to speak from the heart when you speak like that. And I'm quite good at speaking from the heart, as you can probably tell after a few beers. But especially on posts as well, and everything's got, you've got to make people want to actually read it. You can't be like, to whom this may concern.
Yeah,
that's not how it works. Like, you've got to want it, and I do more than anything. And so that's why I'm good at articulating that feeling, even if it does require a couple of swear words in a post or two. But sometimes it's just needed. You know what I mean?
It is needed sometimes. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen how me and April argue regularly with the holler. On Twitter, it's quite fabulous.
I don't think I will, but I'm definitely going to get have a look at it.
Yeah, look out for it, because if the holler start, we do like to argue with them. They say nice things, and I'm like, what do you want? Like, seriously, guys, why are you being nice? And they'll be like, no reason, Laura. We appreciate you. And I'm like, what do you want? I'm not doing another show.
Want some more exposure, like, that's what it is.
I'm not working even more. Shush. Anyway. It's all in good fun, innit?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about.
So have you done any like virtual gigs?
Done a couple, to be fair. We did one for Scruff of the Net TV. That was all Twitch. So they have I don't know if you saw, but we posted out the other day that they'd had over something like 400,000 views on across, like nearly a quarter of a mil views on across all of their streams and stuff like that. And they've had like some really cool, they have presenters. So they've had like Jack Wood from Radio X and stuff like that. And we were lucky enough to meet him there.
Yeah.
And chat with him. And he's a good bloke. He's from Oldham, so he's from around our part.
Yeah.
And like we ended up getting him on the Masscast and stuff like that. So it was really good for us. And we did that one. That was really cool. That was a Twitch stream. And like all these Twitch people were like, there's loads of them. Like, there was like 15,000 people watching or streaming at the time.
Wow.
And like, you get them all commenting and stuff. And talking about you or talking about your songs and stuff, and like you, there's a little screen whilst you're playing as well that it pops up, so you can see it whilst you're playing. It's mad, and like we've got all the footage from it, so we're going to post it all soon. But
it was
a really mad one. And when we did the interview, like the reason why we brought Jack onto the podcast, the Masscast, is because everyone was saying when we did the interview, it overran. It was only supposed to be 15 minutes. It was like half an hour, and I had like 2 minutes to get, like less than 2 minutes to get on stage after it. So like, I had to run off the interview, the couch, run over to the stage, get me in ears in, and bang them on, plug in, get going. And everyone was calling for a Jack and Ollie podcast, because obviously I was the only one on the couch because of COVID rules, so it's only me allowed on the couch. Which I was very happy about, because then I could just talk utter shit as usual. But yeah, so it was great. It was good fun, and everyone was calling for this Jack and Ollie podcast, so we actually managed to make it happen, which was great, because like all the Twitch streamers that were calling for it, they all tuned, they all listened to the Masscaster one, which I loved. It was good. Good fun. We did that one. We did one in Bedford. We went down to Bedford. Someone emailed us the New Scene Live, I called, and they run like a foundation where they do charitable events to help promote unsigned artists. And we thought that was really cool. And
yeah.
We looked at their setup and we saw it and we just thought, we can't say no to the distance. It's just not something that we're not like that. We don't do that. If we get a gig, we play it. You know what I mean? We do everything. We have a joke where in the band where it's like Una Mas to the rescue. So if anyone ever needs us or anyone wants us, we're always
You'll
there.
You'll be there.
Yeah, we're always there. So we joked about that. We joke about that all the time. But we went down to Bedford on a Sunday and it was a 3-hour drive there, 3-hour drive back. And the gig, and that was mint. That's coming out on Saturday, so I don't know when this is going out, but on the 22nd of May, it came out, should I say?
Yeah, came out, but they'll be able to get it on catch up, won't they?
I don't know about that, that's above my pay grade, but
all the fuck's sake,
we'll have to see about that. But that was really good, that was really fun. There was proper good setup in there. They do. It's like an online ticketed event, and we did one for Edge Studios, up in Audley Edge, which is like Cheshire, and it ended up being on Sky.
All right.
So Sky do have a channel called the Showcase TV channel.
And yes.
I've not even got it on the top of my head here. This is how good I am. It's channel 191 on Sky. So it's actually being replayed on the 22nd. So it's been played again already.
Yes, we've missed it.
Yeah, it was on Sunday, just gone, on channel 191 on Sky, and that was really cool. That Mark Radcliffe did the presenting for that.
Wow.
So we just got asked to go down to it, and obviously we said yes, and we played it. It was good fun, and then a couple of weeks later, they were just like, oh yeah, it's going to be on Sky, and I was like, oh, fucking buzzer.
Yay!
Yeah, that was sad. So, yeah, we've done a couple. We did a, right at the beginning, we did a lot of our own, just like through the phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Before it was even a thing, before people started.
But you were there doing it before everyone else.
No, I think everyone was doing it from the fans, to be fair. But before all the promoters got on board with it and stuff and started doing their own professional ones, we were doing little acoustic ones. We did one in my back garden, actually, at my mum and dad's house. It was in between, it was when we were allowed in gardens again. This was before Christmas. This was like the end of summer.
Lockdown just before November, didn't we, again? So
yeah, it was literally between... we managed to get a tune recorded then as well. We jumped in with the tune there. It's mad, though, because you think that... Well, I'm saying three now, but two of our tunes that are out right now were recorded in the outs of the letting go of lockdown. Which is crazy to think about. And we've just recorded a new one. Obviously, because everything's starting back up again, so we were allowed back in the studio. As soon as we were allowed back in the studio, we were like, it's time to get in the studio and get something done again.
Yeah.
But yeah, because we just want to keep putting out as much music as possible, much good music as possible. Yeah. So yeah, two of our four tracks that are out at the minute, we're in lockdown, and that feels like a lifetime now, to be fair.
Because
we had Born in Glass Houses. And they were done. Glass Houses was done in January. January. When this test? When did lockdown happen? January. We did it in January 2020.
I was going to say 2020. We went into in March. It was, wasn't it, that we went into lockdown? Was it?
Yeah. It was March. Yeah, God. And then. In the release of the first lockdown, when we were coming back to normal, when they did that thing where it was like, oh yeah, you can, it's half price or whatever, or one,
yeah,
buy one, get one free. Yeah, and then after that, they blamed young people for going out, but I won't get on to that. yeah, and they were like, that was in that part, that's when we recorded Don't You Know.
Yeah.
And then we got locked back down again. We couldn't do a music video for it because we got locked straight back down. And then the release, just after Lockdown 2 came out, we did Clue. Managed to get all the video and everything sorted before, in December. And then we went lockdown again on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been a crazy time, but we're keeping going, keep pushing, and we've got lots of gigs to look forward to. So.
I was going to say, yeah, what things are you looking forward to now? Life's getting back to normal.
Oh, loads. We've got Carfest coming up as a band. The Carfest is a festival run by Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Which I'd never heard of before.
I've never heard of that, I must admit. No, I haven't heard it.
Yeah, but it's 15,000 people a day or something like that. There's one in the north and then there's one in the south and we're on both of them.
Wow.
So we can't wait for that. We're on the Wigwam stage, it's called. But yeah, we got asked to do that, which was mint because there's some mental people playing on there. There's like I can't even remember. I think the Fratellis are playing on it. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Tom Jones is either playing it or has played it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty mental. It's one of them. It's like they have all the big time guests. Well, it's Chris Evans' festival, isn't it? Of course he's going to get.
Well, yeah, of course it's going to be big people. Yeah.
Yeah, like you know, Matt.
Yes, of course. It's like you boys.
Exactly. So we're really looking forward to Carfest because that's like going to be our first kind of major festival. And it's obviously a bit of a tour as well. So there's one in the north. I think there's one in Cheshire. And then there's one in somewhere like Brighton down that way. So that'd be great to be able to do them. And then obviously we've got the Deaf Institute that I can't wait for. And there's just so many gigs in the middle that are all pending. We've got a couple booked in, but we've got a couple of pendings because of just people have been quite abrupt with booking things in because of how things have gone recently, because we've done it before where we're supposed to do a gig and we can't and we postpone it and then we don't postpone it, so we say yes to most things.
If you can fit it in, because that's going to be a problem shortly, isn't it, is if you can fit it in.
Yeah, it's getting to that point now with all the things. Like my manager keeps coming to me and he's like, do we want to do this gig? And I'm like, what gig? And he's like, I told you about it 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're on about.
Like, told me about a lot of gigs.
Yeah, did I say yes to it 2 weeks ago? And he was like, yes. And I was like, well, it's still a yes.
Yeah. If we can fit it in, we'll do it. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the main thing is just to get out there and get gigging again. We've not been able to gig any of our new singles and or new tunes or whatever. We've done a couple, obviously, the live stuff like that, but we've not been able to fully see people's faces and see how they react to the songs. But then again, it might do us a bit of good because now they might actually know the lyrics.
Yeah. We'll be like screaming them at you.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Not particularly.
Yeah, not particularly a lyric, but...
Exactly. Don't want to hear me sing, not really.
Don't get me singing. I've had a few beers.
I've not. I've had a cup of tea. Very sugary one.
Very professional.
I am. Yes, very professional. Mm. Not always, honestly. So what is one of the craziest things that you've done as a band, then?
God.
Can you tell me?
Yeah, that's a difficult question to be able to allow. I mean, mediocre things, like we played a beer festival. What, I think our first ever gig, and we headlined it as well because it was just like a local gig to us. It's called Lim Beer Festival.
Yeah.
We went to it obviously to play it. Obviously, and I was going on holiday with my partner, Our flight was at, I think it was at 5 o'clock in the morning, and the gig was at, so that was Sunday morning. And the gig was on a Saturday night. So we all went to this beer festival gig, and my partner, it's pretty local to me. So I was like, I'll just go home straight off, which did not happen. I go home straight after it because I have to be up at 2:30 to get my shit sorted, get a taxi to the airport and all that. This was like pre-COVID, so this sounds a little bit all like mystical right now, doesn't it? A little bit like magical. I went to the airport and actually went abroad.
It does.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But yeah, this was 2019. A long time before, but
long time ago.
Yeah, before the British lockdown.
Make everything into a song.
Innit? I'll write that down. So we're at this beer festival, and after it, all the lads that were running it were like, that was a really good set, that was a really good set. And it was like, are you going to stick around? So we were like, we'll stick around. And I was like, I'll stick around. It's not far from my house, so I could walk it, basically. So, and it was absolutely rammed, and everyone like dispersed. And it was like just the band, and the lad was, we were in the back. He was like, you can go in the back if you want a few beers. I mean, the kegs are in the back. He went, just pour yourself a beer when you want one. And we went and we got into the back, and there was these like, it was like a wall of kegs, like massive, like it must have been like 6, 7, 8 meters of kegs. Oh. And it was like, they were stacked 3 high on these, like, on these stands. And I was just like, what the fuck do we want? We were just having beers and just taking from each one, trying them and all that. And just like, everyone had left by this point, and it was just like a lock-in mode. By this point, it was just us and these lads. And in the end, we just fucked the cups off and just started necking them out of the kegs. And the lads would come in and they were like, what are you doing? And we were like, nothing. And there's like video, everyone's videoing each other necking out of these kegs. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. It's fine. It'll all have to be binned anyway, so you need to get through it. And I think I got in at 2. and then I had a shower. I think I had a shower. I was that pissed. I was like, I need a shower. I need a shower. Like, I need to sort my head out. I need to drink some water. You know when you drink like 12 pints of water thinking that it's going to help?
Yeah.
But it doesn't. And I had like 12 pints of water. I had a shower. I was like, that'll sober me up. I slapped my face. And as soon as one arse cheek touched the bed, just as soon as that happened, the alarm went off. So I got straight back out of bed, got changed, and I was downstairs and I was absolutely steaming. And when I got to the airport, the woman was asking me for my passport, and I was asking my partner where my passport was. It was in my hand.
It was in your hand.
I was like, where's my passport? And she was like, Ollie, it's in your hand. And I was like, oh yeah, there it is.
Oh god. Did she
I'm
not
surprised
curious?
I got on that flight. So she found it quite funny, actually. Well, not then, but afterwards.
Yeah, afterwards.
Because
at that time, I bet she was going to kill you.
Yeah, because I'm surprised they let me on the flight, to be fair. And then I fell asleep on the in Frankie and Benny's in Terminal 1. That was pretty rough. I woke up like half an hour later, and she'd had a breakfast. And then we went outside to wait for our flight, fell asleep again. Passed out, more like passed out.
Yeah.
And passed out again, and then I got woken up by shaking me and being like, right, flight's ready. And I was like, okay, and stumbled to the aeroplane and fell asleep again. Woke up, and I was in another country, got on a bus, fell asleep again. And then I woke up, and it literally felt like I'd been traveling for like 10 minutes. It was great. I was at the hotel within like, got on the bus, got to the hotel. I woke up at the hotel, and I was fine. I went on and I was like, someone get me a beer, please.
But then did you realise you'd drawn all over your face and things, you know, while you were comatose?
I wouldn't even have cared. I was on the San Miguel original by that point. I did not give a shit. I was missing. I actually didn't have a hangover after that. It was amazing. It's one of the only times that I've kind of I've missed a hangover.
Look at you. Yeah, it's because you just went straight back on the beer. You were probably still pissed.
Yeah, I probably was, to be fair. Back on the beer. And yeah, that was a great, it was a good holiday. And I don't remember that travelling there at all, which is great. literally felt like 5 minutes.
Oh, that's one way to do it. Definitely, Ollie. Yeah.
I don't think I could have done it again. I don't think I could do it again because I don't think that the time, the stars are aligning as much as they did that night, but they did.
It's a good job you had somebody looking after you. That's all I can say.
Everyone kept texting me like, oh, how the gig was mint last night. And I was like, I'm in another country.
They're like, what?
Yeah, they're all like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm not at home anymore. by the time everyone had got back and woken up and got themselves sorted, I was already in another country drinking San Miguel Original.
That's definitely the way to do it.
Yeah, that was lucky that, to be fair. It could have gone a lot worse. I could have been not allowed on a flight or anything like that.
You would have been dead.
Then I would have been dead. I wouldn't be talking to you right now, put it that way.
No. You wouldn't.
I would not be allowed at the house.
Oh. So, what advice would you give to anybody who's thinking about starting out in a band right now or as a solo artist?
See, I've been doing it since I can remember now, so I just say, like, no matter what anyone says to you, whether it's anyone, I don't care who it is, like, if you want to do it, do it. Like, just do it and don't stop doing it. And if you want to do it, put your eggs in the basket. Do it. Like, it's no half-assedness in this business. Like, you don't get anywhere doing it half-assed. So just do it. Like, I sound like a Nike advert, but just do it. Like, but it's, honestly, God, it's one of them. Like, don't let anybody tell you otherwise. At the end of the day, this is like you're creating, and you could potentially help other people,
mm-hmm.
like in a way that nothing else really can. Like, it's a strange thing, is music, and it'll always baffle me, but it'll always be the best thing ever. So, like, I would never say never give it up. Carry on and work hard, and just get your goals in order. Get some goals. Write them down on a whiteboard or on a piece of paper or stick them on your walls. I don't know. We've got a whiteboard. Yeah. We've got a whiteboard at our Francis room.
Yeah.
And I've got I wrote it in Sharpie on my work table, on my work desk. All my goals that I want to achieve. And I'll cross them off when I've achieved them. And just make some goals and just never give up and just enjoy it along the way.
Yeah, that's fab. That's great advice. It is. And you're right. It's one of those things that, as we've already said, you know, it's about the love of music, isn't it? And what it can bring for people, because it means so much to so many different people in so many different ways.
That one song can mean a million different things.
Yeah. But the things, like, you know, how it's brought us all together in lockdown and things, it's been amazing. You know, I've met some amazing people through music, and I wouldn't be here right now talking to you and if I hadn't met April and the guys from the Holler, who've given me like this amazing opportunity, just from being somebody who loves music and loves to be able to promote other people, you know, get people listened to, and I get such joy from doing that. It's amazing. And I'm a person who really feels music. You know, there is definitely a song for every single mood that you're in or every single situation. And if there isn't a song for it, I'll bloody make one.
Yeah, exactly. There is. But like I say, there's and as well with people that are starting out, like, there's 50 million number one singles out there. Like,
yeah.
There's only one of you. Like, I'm a full advocate of the band makes music. The music does the band. Like, at the end of the day, if people love you, they'll love your tunes.
Yeah.
That's why we do the Masscast, and that's why we do all this. Like, and we like chatting and we talk, and because at the end of the day, like, we are these people because of music, and the people that are listening are the people that they are because of music. So, like, let's join together and be people together, because at the end of the day, we're all just fucking making our way through our lives. So, like, focus on the humans, and the music will come with it. Like, the music comes. The music is a happy bonus. And I think that's great. I think that's a great way to think about music. And like, you don't have to, if you're sitting there thinking you're going to write the next number one, you ain't going to make anything. You know what I mean? There's too much pressure.
Yeah.
You need to just sit there and make things that are right for you and your band and your image. And if that's what you think is going to work, then carry on doing it.
Yeah.
Because that's how it works. That's how the big timers have done it. Yeah. They've made their own path. Don't have to copy anyone else, just do you.
Oh god, yeah, you've got to be you. Top and bottom of everything is you've got to be you in all this.
Exactly. So I think, like I say, I wouldn't get too caught up in, don't get me wrong, the tunes have to be good, obviously, but I won't get caught up in trying to write the next number one single, the next number one chart topping single. Because if you sit there thinking like that, you ain't going to get anywhere, because there's too much pressure. Like Noel Gallagher once said, if I knew how big Don't Look Back in Anger was going to be, I would have never finished it.
Yeah.
Because it's just too much pressure on a human being.
And that's it, I suppose. You can always, with speaking to people and speaking to bands and speaking to artists and stuff, you know, I get a lot of people saying, oh, I could go on forever tweaking a song, and sometimes you can make it even worse, and sometimes, you know, you think you've made it better, and you could go on forever, but sometimes you just have to stop and you have to put it out there, because you'd never release anything.
Yeah, otherwise you ain't getting anywhere.
Yeah, and you're not getting anywhere, you're not getting your stuff out there, and you're not, because, you know, we can all be perfectionists about everything, and, you know...
Exactly, and
I have had friends who've been like, I don't like it, and you know, and then it's like, oh well, I've just got to put it out there, because you know, it's got to go, but I'm not happy with it. Nobody else knows that when I've listened to the music afterwards, I'm like, what the hell did you think was wrong with that?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. The song means a million different things to a million different people. So, you've got to bite the bullet sometimes and just work on what you think you like and what you think people are like. And if you think of it just on like that, you'll get far, because you don't need to be stressed out panicking about the next big thing. You just need to know that you are creating what you love, and other people will follow, sure enough.
How crazy is that we have been talking now again for nearly an hour?
Yeah, it flies by, doesn't it?
I know. I think I better let you go. I've been sat on this is the porch that we've been sat on for ages. I technically did it wrong at the beginning, so I'm going to have to redo the beginning. Because I was like, hi, April, yay! I'm like, oh, yeah, wrong show. We're doing the porch.
It'll all work out in the end.
She'll play all this because she'll be like, Laura got it wrong. Yeah, I did. It's the porch. We've been sat on the porch with Ollie. I can't wait until we are sat on a porch and having a beer. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
When the sun's finally out.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope so. Hope that happens soon.
Yeah, indeed. Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been great chatting, and I could sit and chat for another hour probably between the two of us.
I reckon we could do it, to be fair.
Definitely could. But, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on the porch, not on Loud and Lush.
Yeah, thank you for having me on the porch.
You're welcome. So you guys take care of yourself, and what is it that you've got up next? What's up next for you, the next thing that you've got on?
Well, we have our headline show at the Deaf Institute that is very, very close to selling now on the 25th of September. So if anyone fancies coming down to that in Manchester, then come down, join the massive, be involved, because that's what we like. We're a collective. We do, the fans make the tunes, and that's what we thrive off. So come down, get to know us, and we'll have a chat, and we'll have a fucking party.
Excellent, Ollie. Right, thank you so much. And
no problem.
I'll see you soon.
See you soon.